Now, the IHREC is very concerned about new immigration measures. Proposals to restrict rights in a number of key areas, such as family reunification and restricted citizenship. These have been cornerstone of Ireland's immigration policy for many years. Liam Herrick is Chief Commissioner of the Human Rights and Equality Commission. Good morning, Liam.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, so, I've kind of outlined it there. I just want more information as to why the Commission would be opposed to these new rules.
Well, I suppose, Greg, we don't know the full detail yet. I mean, the government kind of gave indications over the weekend, and then there was cabinet decisions this week. But a lot of what's being proposed would require legislation. But broadly speaking, it seems that the government is intending to impose significant restrictions on the access route for citizenship for people who've been granted refugee status, the right to family reunification, and also to impose charges on people that are living in state accommodation. Now, you can look at them all individually, but the overall direction here seems to be that by making it harder to become a citizen once you have a right to be in the country, and by also making it more difficult for you to have unification with your family once you've got a right to be here, that we're going to make Ireland a less attractive place for people to claim asylum and international protection, going to make it more hostile for them, and that might reduce the number of people that are coming to the country.
And that's why it's being done, Liam. Isn't it? That's why it's being done.
The case. That seems to be the motivation. Now, this really is giving the argument that there are pull factors that are drawing people to the country. And I think in terms of that causal effect, it's not at all clear that it will have that, because we know, right, when you look over the last 20 years or so, the number of people that come to Ireland for international protection go up and down in complex patterns, mainly to do with what happens in other parts of the world, most obviously with regard to the war in Ukraine, and also wars in other parts. So the idea that these kind of regulations in Ireland are likely to determine whether people are fleeing persecution will come here or not, it's not at all clear. But I suppose what's of more concern to us is that it's not clear that the government is thinking through the other effects of these types of measures, the kind of consequences it's going to have for individuals and families, and also in the longer term for integration. So if we look at the citizenship issue, it's been a real cornerstone and a huge success story of Ireland's migration and international protection policy for 20 years, that once you are granted refugee status here, once we have recognised that you're fleeing persecution and you have a right to be here, that we encourage people to become part of our community and our nation. They can't go back to where they came from because they're fleeing persecution. They apply to become a citizen and then become part of the Irish nation. We've all seen the citizenship ceremonies that the government has been promoting for years. And now, for some reason, the government is saying that rather than being able to apply for citizenship after 3 years, and of course there's a process to evaluate people's claims, you can't claim for 5 years. Now, that's not going to deter people who are not legitimate asylum seekers from applying to come here. It's only affecting people once they've been granted refugee status. And it's hard to see what the positive benefits are. But what we can see are the negative consequences, that people won't be able to become a full part of the Irish nation, even though they're entitled to be in the country.
But Liam, the general consensus is, though, and you can correct me, by the way, if I've misframed this, but in Britain and Northern Ireland, they are tightening up rules. We are their next door neighbours. The concern, obviously, within government is that we will be overstretched, that we will be the next option. And, you know, whilst there has been a great number of people that have come here fleeing persecution, there are, according to the government too, quite a percentage of those that are maybe just seeking access to Europe or are coming here just for financial benefits. So there is something in there that does need to be resolved.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right, Greg, that we are hearing consistently from government references, and at least from the opposition, references to the common travel area. Now, I don't need to be telling your listeners about the efforts that the Irish government has taken over the last 10 years to ensure that we won't have a hard border on the island of Ireland, that we'll protect the common travel area, that we don't want to have border checks and racial profiling in Lifford, for example. And all of a sudden, we're now saying that we're going to be trying to follow UK policy and migration at a time when UK policy and migration is going in a particular direction. And when I say a particular direction, we now have two of the largest parties in the United Kingdom saying that they want to leave the European Convention on Human Rights. This is a cornerstone of the Good Friday Agreement and a cornerstone of our legal system. And the Labour Party, the other of the three major parties, is saying that it wants amendments and changes to the European Convention on Human Rights, which Ireland is completely opposed to.
But Liam, we all know
that the patterns of movement between Ireland and Britain are very complex. And these type of measures are unlikely to change the patterns overnight. But we also need to be very careful of following Britain when it's going down quite a dark direction.
Liam, you obviously are Chief Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, but there are, you know, rights of those living here, Irish citizens or those just living here at the moment. You know, the right to equality and fairness in terms of rent, paying rent. You know, some people in this country pay rent, others now might be asked to pay rent. At the moment, we have a situation whereby people from Ukraine living and working here can avail of 600 euro towards their monthly rate. That's not equality or equal to those in the rental market that don't have access to that money, for an example. Do you think your commission needs to speak more about the rights of all Irish citizens, the fact that people living here have equal access to school bus transport, you know, medical appointments, hospitals, etc.?
Well, I mean, just to be clear, Greg, we're absolutely concerned about all of those issues all the time. We're involved in legal cases. We're supporting people who are bringing claims out to the Workplace Relations Commission or to the courts with regard to all of those issues. And, you know, there's nothing proposed this week that addresses the Ukrainian situation. But with regard to what was proposed this week for people living in direct provision, what the government is now saying is that if you're an asylum seeker who's allowed to work, that you should make a contribution to your rent. Nobody has a difficulty with that in principle, but it's also completely misleading from the reality of the situation. If people who have been in the system so long that they are allowed to work are working, they don't want to be in direct provision.
No,
they want to be
not.
In private rental accommodation. Yeah. And the only reason that they're not in private rental accommodation is because of the same problems everybody else is facing. I mean, the absurdity of some
exactly.
of this,
Greg, no, I understand. So that's why surely it's only fair, because everyone's in the same boat, right? And you talk about integration and what have you. It's only fair if someone's earning over 600 euro that they contribute, what is it, 115, 120 euro towards to the state for that accommodation. That's not unreasonable. That is equality.
I think it's a bit of a red herring, though, because, you know, if you go down to some of the direct provision centres, in the weather we're having at the moment, there are men sleeping in tents outdoors, and that's the level of accommodation we provide them in Ireland. Are we going to be charging the people that are living in tents? Of course, there's another cohort of people that Ireland does not even provide tents for. Some of the male asylum seekers arriving in Ireland today are provided with no support, no tent, no accommodation. So, like, I think it's a bit of a red herring to talk about the very small number of people who are working but are in direct provision. And does this mean that then they will have a contract with the state? So,
but Liam, just one final question is part of being able to treat everyone as fairly and equally and respectfully as possible is to look at where we are at now in terms of the amount of houses available, school places, hospital capacity, GP dental capacity. We are here now, and it will take a generation maybe to fix that. Is part of being fair to people not to put your hands up and say, or to bring in measures that discourage more people from entering into this unequal system? In other words, what I'm effectively saying is introduce measures, as the government is doing, to try and restrict the numbers coming in here, because it's not fair, is it, to be allowing people in here if you don't actually have the facilities or the resources to treat them fairly and equally.
Well, I think, Greg, when we look at who's coming into Ireland, the measures that are being introduced by the government this week seem disproportionately be targeting refugees and people seeking international protection, which are a very small proportion of the overall migration into Ireland. Of course, we should be having a conversation about the bigger picture, about people who come here for work permits, who come here for students. And the vast majority of people that come into Ireland every year are Irish people that are returning, or British people coming here, people from the European Union. It's a very complex issue. But there's a danger in Ireland if the government, when it has failed to address the housing crisis over 15 years, is implicitly blaming refugees and their families. And I think that's the danger. That's where Britain has gone. And I think that's what we need to be very careful of. So I don't think the measures this week are likely to have that effect, are likely to deter people who are fleeing persecution from coming here. But they could very well lead to a deterioration in integration and the attitudes of the public towards refugees. And that's a danger. So
I don't think it's going to have an effect, but
I think it's a negative effect.
Yeah, one final question, Liam, just from the Commission's perspective, if this is a space that you have a position. There are many communities across Donegal and across of Ireland whereby, you know, there has been a massive shift in the makeup of communities. You know, you will have large swathes of Letterkenny whereby it seems to be predominantly young men from other countries, right? And I'm not using any tropes in relation to that. I'm just stating what people feel and say. So you'll have parts of Letterkenny where it's primarily young men from different cultural backgrounds, different race, different whatever it might be, right? And communities feel, maybe it's down to a lack of information or whatever it might be, but communities feel that their areas have changed very drastically, very, very quickly. And maybe it's because of a misunderstanding. They feel that those places or some areas are now less safe. What is the what would be your personal commentary to those people? Do you understand where they're coming from? And has the Commission a position on how those genuine concerns could be addressed?
Well, the first question, I think, is in relation to the safety, Greg. And just to be absolutely clear on that, and Garda Síochána have consistently said that increases in migration have not led to increases of crime. And that's universal across the country. There may be people who perceive things differently from time to time, but it's not based on fact.
But discomfort and intimidation is not necessarily a crime, and that's what some people report. Yeah. But listen, I don't want to sound like I'm being anti this or anti that. I'm just trying to relate to what people are feeling.
Discomfort is a fair point, Greg. I mean, discomfort is that change can lead to discomfort, which is a different thing completely. And of course, we could do a lot better in Ireland about communicating with communities and in terms of integration. That's why I think citizenship has been a real success in that regard, where people who want to become part of the community pay taxes and really show that they're committed to Ireland. The chances of integration are much better. And a real problem that has arisen is because the government policy has been so reactive, there's been significant changes in some communities over short periods of time, and change is hard. So look, I'm not going to in any way suggest that change isn't difficult for communities and we could do a lot better on reintegration. But I want to completely dispel a suggestion that migration has led to increases in crime. It's absolutely not the case. The
I actually never said that. I understand you wanting to emphasise that, but I never said that. I said less safe.
You said some people might feel less safe.
Yeah, less safe.
And
yeah.
I think I understand that is true, Greg, but I don't think it's based on fact. And you didn't suggest it at all.
No,
but you did say some people might feel less safe, and I think the guards have dispelled that.
Well, no, not really, because, as I say, I don't want to get in I'm on about what we'd be contacted about, say, for instance, a person or a girl walking down a street and, you know, maybe some inappropriate comments or whatever along those lines. But listen, I understand where you're coming from, but I wasn't talking about crime per se, Liam, because I would have had those conversations with An Garda Síochána myself. Thanks very much for the broad conversation. I do appreciate it. Liam Herrick, Chief Commissioner of the Human Rights and Equality Commission. It's that time of the week where we welcome into studio our own Shannon Wilkins, Wilkins. She's been keeping her eye on social media, the trends all week. It changes so quickly. 6-7 is not there anymore now.
Not relevant, man.
It is. It comes and goes. Come here. How are you? You're heading off to Watson's Hire with John Bresson around the Northwest. What are you doing?
So there is a big Black Friday marquee sale. So be sure to call around.
Oh, really? How exciting.
I think you might even get something.
Yeah,
I'm, a few tools.
I was down there not so long ago, actually.
Yeah.
I have a lot of tools now. I need a place to store them, organise them.
So you could even buy stuff to build another shed.
Yeah, yeah. I could do that.
Anything
all right.
you need.
So, and then another shed for the other shed and the daisy chain. Right, okay, what's the audio trends on TikTok and Insta this weather?
So they play this with the background of the song Silver Springs, and there are people who will tell you not to X, for example, get a career in journalism because you'll make no money and you'll be unemployed. It's very important that you don't listen to them.
Why?
Because it just shows like how great life is. And then couples, like if your parents say like, don't date this person, and then it shows the
And then
story.
It cuts to, I've seen that, right? So it's a three-page story, right?
Yeah.
So the first page is what you're told not to do. Second page is produced and directed by, and then the third one is you didn't listen to that advice and you got on in life. Yeah, it is good. Parents can sometimes, what we do accidentally is, you almost hold people back because, you know, you don't want people to take risks, because it's not because you don't want them to get on, it's that you don't want them to potentially
fail. There's a fear there.
Exactly. Yeah. So you think that you sometimes have to check myself that my advice is not grounded in my own fear of failure, you know?
Yeah, okay, definitely. Yeah. But everyone has to make their own mistakes too.
What is the Australia effect?
Have you seen this one?
I don't know. Normally you put a name on it. I haven't a clue what you're on about, and then I understand.
You were getting them too fast whenever I was putting more detail on them. So then I was like, what am I going to talk about?
Okay.
So the Australia effect is people go over to Australia, they might be a bit ugly or a bit fake looking.
Right.
And then they go over there, their natural beauty is conquered. They're so fit. They're gorgeous.
Yes.
They're eating healthy. They're running 10Ks and they just look amazing.
Yeah, so, well, a breakup seems to do that too.
But it's more about your lifestyle. Okay. So even I was chatting to a girl, remember I was telling you I met the doll in Prague and she was from Australia.
Yeah.
She's like, everyone eats sushi because it's so healthy.
Yes, but lots of people do that here.
You can be healthy.
Yes, but you can do all of that here.
But you don't wake up in winter at 6 a.m. and be like, oh, geez, I can't wait to go for a run.
I don't do that in the throes of July.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so I must check out the Australia effect. I'm a Celebrity is, I just didn't see the first episode. Sometimes, I've watched this most of the time, but I didn't see the first episode. It was a bit like The Traitors. I didn't want to join late and I haven't watched a second of it.
I'm not going to lie, I haven't watched much of it either.
Right.
But I catch up on all kind of TV programs through the internet. So you'll see wee clips of them, or you'll see memes trending. It was the same with Big Brother.
Yeah.
I saw Jenny the whole time.
Kelly Brook's been getting a lot of hassle for her. Well, I say that. I've seen a lot of people defending Kelly Brook. She, back in the day, she was never out of FHM and Loaded and all those magazines. She's gone on to have a successful career. And I think she still looks fantastic, to be honest with you. But a lot of people saying, would you leave Kelly alone? Stop body shaming. I've not seen any of that. I've only seen people defending her. I think I said this to you a couple of days ago. The criticism I would have seen of her is her personality, certainly not her physique. I mean, she's shaped like a regular woman, really, if the truth be told. But anyway, what else has happened in I'm a Celebrity? It's okay for men to cry.
So this is a viral moment that went viral with Angry Ginge and Jack Osbourne. So Jack got a bit emotional about the death of his father, Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
And then there's a clip taken where they put the two captions with the picture of them. Promise I'll never cry in front of you again, Ginge. And then he replies, it's all right, mate, men cry too.
Oh.
So it was a nice wee moment, you know, you can be open. Another funny one that I've been seeing is all the girls shaving each other because they've got mustaches and little chin
beards.
Hairs.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I saw another
thing. Do you think that's real? Do women really do that? Or is that just something they've done to try and be normal on the telly?
But I don't, like, you do kind of have to upkeep it, like, once you start, like, they're there.
Okay.
Like,
right,
my
mom
is always like, once you start plucking your chin hairs, that's it. That's the style of it,
right? But what's the alternative? Right, car dent remover hack. Is this not pouring hot water on a dent, is it?
This
has been around a long time.
But I've only, like, seen it recently, and Mommy has this massive dent in her car. And she's very angry about it, so I'm so excited to try it.
Yeah, but if it's a dent whereby there's like lines in it, I think you might struggle. this kind of works over the arches and all, where it's kind of the, it's been pushed in. But when are you going to try it, and are you going to video it?
I better video it now that I've said it.
Okay, so you boil it, it's a kettle of boiling water.
Yeah.
You pour it over the dent and then plunger.
You get your plunger and you plunge it out.
Okay, so you're going to do that one live for us? Well, not live.
Well, not live. I'll take a video, but what if it doesn't work? That'll be
because
like
it disproves it. It means it'll save other people pouring boiling water over their lovely paint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not even allowed to do it. I probably should have cleared that first. But anyway.
With whom?
With my mum.
Well, she's committed to it now.
Yeah.
You know. Cardi B umbilical cord.
So we had the whole Calvin Harris placenta thing before,
yeah,
and that was quite
strange. Yeah, I remember really not enjoying that, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Although that being said, I spoke to a lady from Strabane, wasn't it, or Derry, that does this work, and all of a sudden it was like, right, okay. I had this thing in my head that it was something separate to what it was.
The capsules, yeah.
Yeah, but it was, no, it wasn't. Well, it wasn't consuming it as much. It was more of the art that was made and stuff, right? But anyway, go ahead. What's Cardi B doing?
She's encased her fourth child's umbilical cord in gold so that she always has that memory.
Mm.
I don't know, would I like that hanging up on the mantelpiece now?
I don't think so. But again, if it was done a certain way, I just don't see the symbolism of it. Maybe... I mean, obviously, it's an incredibly important thing that, you know, a mum feeds the baby with, but...
Do you remember even back in the day, though, you'd get, like, those wee jars and it'd be, like, baby's first trinkets or whatever. Mm. I still have a tiny bit of my umbilical cord in a jar.
I get that, But
so maybe gold would have been better?
Yeah, it is, but of what... Like, when was... Your mum keeps coming up in conversation. When did your mum take that out last and just look at it and go,
it's actually in my granddad's house.
Right, okay. Well, when did...
Not even in our house.
You know, it's a little bit like... saving teeth, you know?
I think the hair is cute. I love the hair idea. Baby's
first haircut. Yeah, I get you. I just wonder if someone does retain... Sometimes... There's an awful lot of chucking out that has to happen, you know, when someone dies, right? This sounds terrible. And I can't help but think that, oh, there's that container with the umbilical cords, the first thing in the skip. Right, that's all I'm thinking. Now, if it's gold-plated, it might be different.
But then,
anyway.
Like, would you just melt it down and get the umbilical cord taken out?
To be honest, I was thinking more of
Imagine going up to the cash for gold. Here, I've got this for you.
I was thinking more of your trinket. That would be first into the skip, no harm to you. But anyway, all right. It might be the most important thing to your granddad. Matthew McConaughey. There's two of them that I mix up. Matthew's from True Detective, isn't he?
I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm not a True Detective.
Right, okay.
He's done all the rom-coms.
Did he do...
And there's rumours that he's Woody Harrelson's brother.
I'll Google him, actually, just to make sure. But anyway, go on. He loves his wife.
He loves his wife. So he's recently reflected on past relationships and what he wanted before meeting his wife, Camilla
Alves.
Yeah,
it is him.
He said that he dated great women before, but was looking for a real-life partner who felt like a best friend. So then he has a wee quote. Then she came. 3 months later, I met Camilla. 20 years later, she's still the only woman I've ever wanted to take on a date, sleep with, or wake up next to.
Oh.
So that's cute.
Lovely. Okay, that's her Christmas present sorted. She's a very beautiful woman. Right, okay. And Drake and Kim Kardashian, friends with benefits. Is this exactly what it feels like you're going to talk about? Careful, please.
I am being careful, don't worry. This was just juicy to me. I was like, wow. So apparently this has been going on since 2012 when Drake even moved into a Hidden Hills mansion beside her. And then the thing that really set the rumours going recently is they were together in Italy last summer on a vacation. But there's been people talking about, like, Kim Kardashian won't want to be in a relationship again because she had so much work with Kanye. Like, she was basically his mum. So it's interesting.
I would say it would be very difficult to date as a celebrity.
You have no privacy.
But even not just... Well, that would be part of it. But even just the trust. Why are we together? What do you want from me? You know, are you trying to... And I don't even mean financially. Is it like reflected glory? And then having everything. Can you imagine having everything, Shannon? Would you be happy? Do you know, it's the little struggles...
You wouldn't trust people, I think, would be quite hard.
I just don't know. You were talking actually too about Matthew McConaughey. I don't know Richard Branson from Adam. I'm not even sure if he's a very controversial character or not. I do know him, of course, in terms of... the airlines and TV and all that kind of stuff. But his wife died during the week and she was 80.
She looked beautiful.
They've been together for ages, and it's just something in the celeb. We see it all the time, obviously, in real life. You just actually don't see that in the celebrity world that often. We've seen it with Dolly Parton too, but I can name a handful of cases where these relationships had the longevity, and so it was nice.
Were proper partners as well. I read that she was the person who brought the initiative that any loose change that you had in your pockets, you donated to charity, and they've raised millions from that, so... She was a lovely
Their own
lady.
Loose change or other people's?
So let's say you're on a flight now and, oh, geez, I have a pound in my pocket. Here you go.
Okay. I love how, now I'm going to contradict myself, I love how celebrities tell us how we should spend our money. And then with millions, it's like these charity appeals. You know, I'm a famous person, donate to this. Well, what are you doing? What have you done? Are you just giving up your time? And that helps you sleep at night? You've got more money than me, son. Anyway, Shannon, you're going to Watson's. Are you based in the... You haven't been down on site yet. Are you in store? Are you...
We will be in the back of the marquee because that's where all the good stuff is
brilliant.
Happening.
All right, you'll be well looked after down there. Call in and say hello and get some details on the Black Friday deals down at Watson's. Shannon's there, John Breslin is there, Joe will be there, and the crack will be 90. Thanks, Shannon. Now, Peter Hawhey, happy birthday to you from Kay and all at Ashlawn. Good morning. Could you please play a request for Carl Doherty, who's celebrating his 30th birthday today, from all the staff and students from Glentys Comprehensive School? I've been asked to mention that Lagan Inn, the Lagan Inn, in Manor Cunningham, they're holding a fundraising dance tonight in aid of the Irish Wheelchair Association. Music is by Robbie and the Rascals, and they start at 10 p.m. Now, the Moyle National School PTA presents Festive Tractor and Lorry Run. It is tomorrow. You're invited to join them for a fun-filled community evening in support of Moyle National School PTA. Registration is from 4 p.m. The run starts at 6 p.m. It's €20 per vehicle. And the starting point is Monfad Business Park. Light up the night, decorate your tractors with festive lights and decorations, and they say let's make the road shine bright for this special event. Spot prizes for the best dressed vehicle. Now, last shout out, by the way, thanks to our great sponsors, the Silver Tassie Hotel, who've been on board with us all week. This is your last chance to win an indulgent Yonka Delight package at their Seascape Spa. It's worth €155, which means this Yonka Delight would be a really nice present for someone special in your life. What does it include? Well, it lasts 2.5 hours. It's an aromatic steam session and cocoon room, a hot towel foot and back cleanse, a Yonka back massage and hydrating facial, pressure point face and scalp massage, warm oil foot massage, finished off with the snooze room, relaxation time and refreshments. Do you want to be within a chance to win? Well, just answer this question. Which of these is not traditionally associated with Christmas here? Is it A, mistletoe, B, candy canes, or is it C, fireworks? Now, text your answer, your name and where you're from to 086 60 25000, WhatsApp or text, by the way. We're going to keep those lines open for 5 or 6 minutes, then we'll close them. We're going to put all the winning entrants into our digital hat over the course of the 5 days, and we'll draw and announce the winner before 12. Now, we have been hinting at this for some time. It's kind of like one of the worst kept secrets, because the big car draw has got bigger now. So we have a car worth over €35,000 up for grabs. Someone is going to win it just before Christmas on the 9 till noon show. And things have got even better, because we're giving away multiples of €1,000 over various programmes. And to tell us more about that, we're joined in studio by Highland CEO Sean Quinn. Sean, thanks for calling in.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Right. Good. Always good to see you when you're bringing in the cash. So it's
Friday.
Got bigger, isn't it?
It's Friday. We've got cash for a Friday. That was great, Greg. We did it last year for the first time. And so we gave away €1,000 a day for 10 days last Christmas. And you know what? We decided we're going to do the exact same this year. So today we're officially launching €1,000 a day starting from the 8th of December. So if you've already bought a ticket, you're in. If you haven't bought a ticket, I would say start buying a ticket. because you're going to have 10 chances to win over 18th of December, or sorry, the 8th of December through to the 19th of December.
Right, so we've 11 prizes now all of a sudden. So that ticket that you bought yesterday or right at the start of the draw has now become extra special, because not only are you in with a chance of winning the beautiful Renault Symbios Techno worth over €35,000, we've a further 10 chances to win a grand a day. So get your tickets. They're €15 each. You can buy one ticket on our website, highlandradio.com. If you want to get five, it's five for €50. So you can write people's name, not write them on. You can allocate tickets to individuals in your life, right? So if you want it to be a Christmas present, or you can get together with people in the house and just get the savings. Five for €50 or one for 15. And as always, obviously, only play if you can have a bit of fun and you have the spare cash for a punt. And it's just got far more attractive. 11 prizes in total. So as Sean mentioned, you know, get your tickets now, because the first draws is not that far away, the 8th of December. It'll roll around really quickly, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. And we found last year it got very busy towards, so we've given people an extra few days this year to buy their tickets, because we were struggling to cope actually on the telephone lines. So we're going to kick off with your show on the 8th of December, Greg, where you'll give away €1,000. Next on the 9th is going to be JB and around the Northwest, and then followed by David on the 10th and Jive Time, and then the Power Hour with Ivan on the 11th, and then not leaving the best till last is going to have on our breakfast the Naughty Alarm Show on the 12th of December. So that 5 days there'll be 5,000 of cash to give away, and then we'll do the exact same the following week.
The cycle continues then from the 15th of December. So it's 11 draws in total. Now, you don't have to answer your phone. You don't have to anything like that there. Your ticket is drawn, and that's your ticket. You've won instantly, right? So if you're out of the country or if you're working nights any of those weeks, don't worry about that. If your ticket's drawn out, you will win. And then that ticket goes back in because Sean is convinced that one of these days someone's going to win a grand, and then they're going to go on and win the car. And statistically, it could happen.
They could win 10.
So how do you get your tickets? It's perfectly safe and secure. Highlandradio.com. You can do that there. All your details are kept really safe and secure. If you want, you can give us a call at the radio station, 07491 25,000, if that suits you. Or if you are one of the people that believe cash is king and you don't have anything digital, well, you can call into us here at the Mountaintop in Letterkenny. But what Sean is saying is correct. Just as we approach a draw, we get a massive, massive rush, and we do everything we can to make sure everybody is included. Of course we do that. But if you feel you might be that way inclined, get your ticket in now.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what number is drawn. So
no.
As you are called, as you call, your number is given in at a certain time. So in other words, you could be the person that bought the first ticket or the person who bought the last ticket.
It does. It just, whatever goes into
so
that
get
drum,
it whenever you want.
Yeah,
right.
Whatever goes in the drum, Greg, and comes out, it's just, yes, it's a bit of chance, luck. You've got to be lucky. I was never lucky in my life. I'd say if it was my only...
Landed on your feet here.
That's cold. That's not luck, that's hard work, buddy.
Right.
That's hard work.
Do you not make your own work? Look.
Well, sometimes you do, yeah.
So rig the draw then.
No. I couldn't do that. I'm not allowed to enter, and neither
no,
are you. So.
No, unfortunately not. And do you know what happens too then, Sean, when we start talking about the cash, because it's fantastic, we forget about the biggie. Because when all is done and dusted, there's still this blooming €35,000 plus car. You were over there launching it with Lawrence, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's a cracker. It's a beauty.
It's class.
It's everything you'd want in a modern new car.
Yeah. If you're actually driving up by us in the Mountaintop, it's sitting outside the garage.
Here? Okay.
So you can actually see it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful car. It's so well finished inside. What a price to get, you know, brand new car. Car keys sitting for you this second, third of January of next year. Worth over 35,000. Unbelievable. Looks absolutely class.
The one thing I'll say too about this draw is that, you know, I'm one of those ones that plays the odds and looks at odds and all that kind of stuff. And this is not a promise or commitment or anything. That this is just my view and not necessarily the station's view. But this is a competition that we broadcast out here in Highland Radio and on our socials. And I can't remember the last time someone from outside our catchment won. It's always someone in our area, not exclusively, because people can buy tickets from wherever they are, but there ain't 100,000 people entering it, right? You can imagine. It's not like that. Some of these draws, they're fantastic on social media or even the lotto, right? You know, you've got like one in a very, very big chance of winning. We've got 11 great prizes here from a smaller pot. I'm not going to even presume to guess the odds, but you can work it out yourself that you have a far better chance in a draw of this size. It's like I see it a little bit sometimes like the credit union draws, right?
Yeah.
You know the membership.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know the membership, yeah, but you can guesstimate, right? And this is much more bang for your buck, I would argue. Tickets are €15 for one, five for 50, highlandradio.com, or call us or call in, Sean. And you haven't up until the 8th, but we don't want to leave it till the 8th because there's €1,000 from the 9 till noon show, right through to the power hour and then onto the naughty alarm clock, and the same 2 weeks in a row. So it's going to, yeah, be money, money, money. You're going to make it rain, Sean.
It's going to be very busy, and it's and you know, it's a great time of year to get that call to say congratulations, you've won €1,000. It's a nice little gift to get before Christmas this time of year. So yeah, and you're probably right, Greg, there probably will be 10 winners, I would imagine.
okay, so I would love €1,000 now.
So would I
know what I'd spend it on.
What would you spend
it on? Well, I don't know. No, I know. I have a fair idea.
I know. Right, I'd be straight to the travel agents, I have to say.
I thought you were going to say the bookies.
No. No. Travel agents, holiday.
Yeah, no, travel agents is a bit awkward for me at the moment. Just to we. Hudson's probably just a little bit too young, but we are going to do something. But no, there's other stuff. There's stuff I would get, stuff I would do. All right, listen, fantastic stuff, Sean. So it all kicks off the giveaways, and there's lots coming on as well. I know that the are there any tickets? If there are any tickets for tomorrow night, it's going to be a very small amount. This is Highland Radio's big bingo night. It's going to be lots and lots of crack.
Yeah.
We've got Keith Fletcher and Lee Gooch hosting it, but don't let that put you off. No, I'm only messing. And there's going to be loads of fun, and it's just going. And do you know what the thing about it is? It too, by the way, just in case you're sometimes people are a little bit more quiet and reserved. You don't have to do anything. You can sit there and have a couple of drinks and have the crack and potentially win a grand on the bingo and other great prizes, or you can get as involved as you want to be. Right? It's all about your enjoyment as an individual. Marty Friel's fantastic at the music. Lee and Keith are great crack as well. I presume Anya and Corinne will be on hand just to make, yep, sure everything runs smoothly. There are limited numbers of tickets available.
Very limited. Really, yeah, really, like limited. We're down to, I think, there might only be about 20 left. So yeah, if you want to go, get online today, because I think that sold sign, yeah, will go up later on. It will be a brilliant night. I know I've seen what they've been doing in the background. It'll be class. It'll be a great night.
If you've ever attended one of our awards nights, as many of you have, that's the level of professionalism. It's not the same night, but that's the level of professionalism.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things in terms of over Christmas plans, bathing our way.
Yep.
There's lots of stuff going on.
When's
Christmas music starting?
Officially the 1st of December is kind
of
the...
Has anyone played one yet?
No.
Someone did it last year, and I thought, you bugger.
JB?
Was it? No, I don't think so. Someone did anyway.
Yeah, they were a bit early on it, yeah.
Was it Monday Night Sessions? I don't know, I remember going, hold on you second. I might just spoil the party.
I think the general rule is 1st of December, right. So next Monday we'll start blasting.
But that being said, we're in the cycle now.
Well, look, at the work that Geraldine's
done.
And young Sarah yesterday too is a great job. Looks Christmassy. We're getting there, Greg.
Yeah, there's a. It might take a picture. Geraldine or Sarah helped her, yep, wasn't here yesterday?
Yep.
There's a ribbon around the tree out in reception we have here, and I haven't really seen it in the flesh before. It really is classy. It's like old ribbon that sort of goes beautiful with white lights. Now, it's lovely with the coloured lights, but anyway.
I have to say on that point before we go here, I said, God, red would be lovely on that tree. And yeah, I was just told to go away.
Yeah, well, red or gold's interchangeable, I think, you know.
The job she's done is fabulous.
I love that ribbon.
It's lovely.
It's kind of a real American-y feel to it. All right, Sean, thanks for that back. Looking forward to some events which are Christmas-based. There's big things happening in Rafoe. And Boncrana. If you've got anything you need announced in terms of switch-ons or whatever, get them into us as soon as you can. Okay, blustery with widespread showers, heavy at times with a chance of hail and isolated thunderstorms. Through the late afternoon and evening, there might be longer spells of rain. Just the worst thing I could have read out just as we head towards our next item. But winds will be moderate and, you know, dress up well if you're going out. Joseph McCarran of Rafo Tidy Towns and Rafo Community in Action. If there is any rain, we're just going to have to bear it, Joseph, because a lot of preparation has gone into the event tonight. The switching on of the lights, yeah, and you've secured the services of the man himself.
That's right. We have the real Santa coming to Rafo this evening at 7 o'clock, and he's going to switch on the lights. That'll be the first time that Santa's done that here in Rafo. Wow. And we're very lucky because everything, we have a huge, big marquee supplied by Rafo Marquees, and all the entertainment and the mulled wine and the hot chocolate, that's all going to be undercover. So even if it is a bit rainy or windy, we'll be covered in the diamond.
Brilliant stuff. And it's not just tonight. There's a whole weekend of Christmassy activity.
Yeah, that's right. Tonight it starts off at 6, the Finn Valley Men's Choir, who bring a real traditional feel to the opening of the Christmas celebration weekend. And Christy Murray has got a team then of tin whistlers, and we have Eugene and Aoife McGinley and Tori Gilpin. And then on Saturday morning, the Christmas market will open. We have then involved all the community this year because there's going to be a parade from Deal College down to the diamond with the football club, the hockey club, all the different, the scouts, all the different groups. And then Johnny Haughey will be kicking off the entertainment at 2. And again, then on Sunday morning, the Christmas market will open again for, you know, the traditional Christmas wreaths, the Christmas bakes, home bacon. We have a local artist, Eleanor Duffy, doing her stuff. And on Sunday as well, there is a new vendors, people that maybe can't make it on the Saturday, they'll be showcasing their stuff on the Sunday. And we're going to have a traditional Irish session then in the afternoon with the Diamond Bar Thursday night session musicians with Christy Murray, the Donegal Piper.
Well done to you. What a fantastic weekend. What a fantastic weekend for Rafo. Well done, Joseph. Thanks so much for your time. Nicholas Crossan, member of the Boncrana Christmas Lights Committee, and notorious timekeeper, joined. Are you muted there? I can't see. Anyway, if you are, unmute yourself. If you don't
think so.
No, you're not.
No,
I've
I'm
got
okay,
you.
Great.
Yeah, I've got you. I've got you. Right now.
I'm just very quiet.
The big light switch on tonight, 7 o'clock.
Yes, we're very excited about our switch on this year. It's probably the highlight of the winter season. It is the highlight of the winter season for us. And I listened very carefully to Rafo. We're saying the very best on their switch on as well. Santa will, because he's magical, he'll be with us at the same time, around 7 o'clock sharp. We've also the Boncrana Fire Service is bringing them up per usual, and there's a great excitement for the children. It's all about the children, Greg, and Boncrana. We have Disney characters. We have sweets for them. We have the Grinch, who is a bad article. We can't keep him out. He's back every year. And it's just a great time for the children, and we're looking forward. The volunteers or committee has put on stalwart work over the past 2 months, really, and worked long, hard nights for this night.
So the lights are going on. The Santa's going to be there. He's going to fleet between the two in his magical way. The Grinch is knocking about. Live music, great entertainment. And just a note, not to be negative, for anyone who's out and about over the Christmas and might happen to be using this, have some respect for all the effort that's gone in, because unfortunately we do have to reflect a little bit about some vandalism in previous years that cost a lot of money, and this all is fundraised. You know, no one's opening or shaking a magical tree here. So let's just get through this whole period where everything is taken down as it was put up.
Well, Greg, the way we're at Boncrana, we're firefighting really at the minute, because the money that we spent on vandalism had happened last year. So what we had done this year, we had to invest maybe, or other than more lights, we have a few more lights, but we had to put in by security cameras. So anybody this year that was caught on a security camera doing anything Well, their name will, unfortunately, we have to pass on the information to the Gardaí, and we will be looking for recovery of damages.
So the only bad article knocking about will be the Grinch, and we have some level of control over him. Enjoy. Thanks very much, Nicholas.
Yeah, and just if I could just to thank everybody for their kind donations over the past couple of weeks. There are a few more to come in, Greg. Wrap up and turn up at 7 o'clock tonight at the Barker Square in Buncrannan. Thanks for your time.
Look after yourself. Great to see you as always. Dunfanaghy Christmas lights are switched on this evening between 5 and 7. That's the covering that period. So there's going to be Christmas markets, arts and crafts, food trucks, carol singing, hot drinks. And believe it or not, can you believe it? And this is how this guy gets around every single house on Christmas Eve to all the kids that behave themselves and go to bed when they're told. He's going to manage to squeeze in Dunfanaghy as well. So Santa's going to make it to Dunfanaghy tonight as well. And there's going to be a family quiz in the Outback at 9 p.m. So that's the Dunfanaghy Christmas lights switch on tonight from 5 p.m. Remelton, they're switching their lights on Sunday between 6 and 8 p.m. So there's going to be a little lights parade, Christmas market, Santa's Grotto, this all at the Gamble Square in Remelton. And it's going to be beautiful along the banks of the river there. So the official light switch on is actually at 7 p.m. in Remelton, but you can get there at 6 p.m. Milford, they have a Christmas spectacular. There's a Christmas craft fair between 12 p.m. and 4 p.m. at the Milford Parochial Hall. This is on Sunday. Face painters, local vendors, Christmas gifts. There's a parade of light from the Market Square at 4:30 p.m. on Sunday in Milford. Street performers, lantern parades for kids, music and bands. And then the lights themselves will be switched on with Santa and local choirs. Hot chocolate and mulled wine at Esther's, the Milford and District Resource Centre, helping out in that wonderful event all day, effectively from noon in Milford on Sunday. And just to let you know that Increasler Christmas markets run on the 29th of November. That is tomorrow at the Hub from 5 p.m. There's lots going on. Christmas lights switch on at the 30th of November at the corner of the garden. Children's choir at 5, turning on the lights at 5:30 on Sunday. Santa meet and greet at 5:45 on Sunday. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back. Oh, winner of the spa. It's John Boyce in Carrigart. Well done, John Boyce. You've won the Yonka Delight. Thanks to our friends at the Seascape Spa. Worth €155 for yourself or someone in your life.